Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. This is episode 15, where composer Stephen Bastet talks about his original score for the video game Project Cars 2. Stephen Bastet is an award-winning British film, TV, and video game composer, and he's well known for his versatility and for his emotionally charged and expressively powerful music. Stephen's recent scores for film include I, Claude Monet, Renoir, Revered, and Reviled, and The Impressionists. Some of his recent game scores include the number one best-selling racing titles such as Electronic Arts' Need for Speed Shift 2, Unleashed and Need for Speed Shift, and his most recent, Project Cars 2. Project Cars 2 is the second installment in the best-selling and critically acclaimed Project Cars Motorsports franchise developed by Slightly Mad Studios. Project Cars 2 builds on the success of 2015's chart-busting multi-platform Project Cars. Project Cars 2 takes the franchise and its fans into a blistering new era of motorsport simulation and the largest track roster ever seen on console. In this episode, Stephen Bastet talks about, even though there's no music during actual gameplay, how his score is designed to take players through a great range of emotions while playing. One of his other goals was to get inside the heads of actual racers and express those things that they think about and experience, but musically. To that end, he interviewed a racing driver, Ben Collins, to get his perspective on racing. And you will hear actual bits of those interviews in this episode.
Hello, my name is Stephen Bastet. I'm the composer of Project Cars 2, the racing simulation developed by Slightly Mad Studios and Bandai Namco. The score itself is an unusual one for a racing simulation in that I didn't really want it to be just one thing, one flavour, one kind of sound world. I wanted to take the player through a whole range of emotions, of reactions really, in the sense that during gameplay, there is no music. It's just the sounds of the cars. So all of the work that I must do as a composer to really influence the player and how they play the game is in the menu system and the build-up to each race. So in effect, the music prepares psychologically the player for the action that is about to take place. And what I really wanted to do was to get inside the racing driver's head to try to understand and to express musically what all of those emotions, the fear, the danger, the adrenaline, the nervousness, the excitement, the euphoria they experience when winning, what does that feel like? You know, how do they cope with this enormous pressure of the TV cameras, the racing in close combat with their rivals, sometimes at night in the rain, in extraordinarily dangerous situations, the speed of G-forces, all of that stuff I wanted to try to express through the score. So at some moments the score is really aggressive, hard pumping, hybridized orchestral music. In others, it's very introspective, it's reflective, and it tries to represent the other side of the racing driver's psyche, that of the contemplative, the calculating, and the emotional side of things, you know, how they keep everything together. What we're going to do is to listen to three or four tracks from the game, and I'll go through each one and discuss some of my ideas, what I was trying to portray at each moment, and take you through the score. And one of the other things I must explain before we get started properly is the fact that I interviewed a racing driver whilst I was composing the score, because I wanted to get their side of the story. And it's quite interesting talking to racing drivers, because there is this facade in many respects, this unbreakable barrier that takes a while to come to terms with when you ask them about things like how they feel, are they frightened, Are they kind of worried about crashing or hurting themselves? And once you start talking to a racing driver in those terms, you really do start to understand the fact that they are vulnerable human beings, but somehow they really are able to cope with these extraordinary pressures, both physical and mental. And they really are a breed of human beings that I admire immensely, and a breed that really do push themselves to the limit and beyond it, because they have this thing inside them that they need to prove that they can do it for some reason. I don't know. I prefer to be comfortable in my car. Anyway, the first track I'm going to talk about is a track called Eau Rouge. Now, Eau Rouge is one of the most famous and celebrated corners, and indeed feared corners, in motorsport. In Formula One, for example, the drivers go through the corner at 186 miles per hour, pull 5 Gs in various directions before they go through it. And so what struck me about this particular piece of music is the fact that what I wanted to do was to give the player a sense of build and build and build and build preparation to the corner, on the approach to the corner. You know, you're really psyching yourself up, preparing yourself, getting yourself primed and ready for what could be your last turn of the wheel. And then when you go through the corner itself, many drivers in interviews and those that I've talked to say that it feels like time slows down. It's like slow motion. It almost stops. You're suspended. Everything goes light. Your body goes light because of the G-forces. And literally, you're balancing the car on a knife edge. So there's a bit in the track which we'll listen to in a moment which tries to give the player a sense of that. So the track builds and builds and builds and then stops abruptly. We get this reversed piano into this complete change of meter from 7/8 to 4/4, and then a build up again to the pounding climax, as it were. So let's just have a listen to that. So we start with some piano, and then some commentary by Ben Collins.
All the teams are lined up on that wall. Everybody's watching to see who's going to lift or who's going to carry the most speed through there. And for the drivers, you all know, you really judge each other because it's one of those measures of bravery. Long approach, you come out that hairpin, you make your gear changes, you get up to speed. You start hugging the pit wall, you try and get as much aerodynamic benefit from hiding behind the wall. But all you're doing the whole way down is measuring the car and getting yourself absolutely critically prepared for what's about to happen. Because if you don't rock up to Eau Rouge with a very firm plan of what's going to happen, you land in trouble very quickly.
So we get the start of the build with the 7/8 rhythm. And then Tycho's and Kodo's and bass drum and other percussive elements start to blend in, plus of course lower strings. And now the London brass starts to really kick in, as you can hear them building the horns and trombones, tuba, cimbasso and trumpets over the top. And then we start to get a kind of more melodic build now into this complete stop, frozen, and then reverse piano.
Go into this enormous compression.
It's quite funny, when we were mixing this at Air Studios with Jake Jackson, he was really unsure about whether this would work or not, and I said, no, we've got to have a completely abrupt stop, no reverb, till nothing. And he said, well, okay, let's go with it. So we did. And I think that what I wanted to achieve there was the fact, with the bare piano and Ben Collins commentating, was the fact that it was almost balletic. It was like a dance, as he says, and very much kind of zero G at that moment. And then we get another build-up You may have noticed also some synthesizer arpeggios in there. I can't really explain that. I just thought they sounded good at the time. I just was mucking around on one of my synths. I've got a bit of a penchant for analog synths, so I've got a few in my studio, so I was just mucking around, I think, very late one evening, and decided to layer some up, and you'll hear some right at the very end after the final climax. So we've got a number of layers here with some Omnisphere stuff, actually Virtual Instrument plus Jupiter 80 plus Matrix Brute plus an old sequential circuit 6-track, all sorts of things going on here to create this kind of texture, this rolling texture.
I grew up watching Senna and listening to Senna and obsessed with the way that he was so precise. He was a perfectionist. He had this magical way to drag the ultimate performance from a car.
Solo horn, which is a doleful quality, of course, and you can hear the guitar.
Was the brain game that's at play with racing. 99% of this is done in the mind, in the preparation, in memorising the lap perfectly and tuning the car, and he just took it to another level in terms of being able to bring all those components together for a single performance in a single moment.
And that was my wife singing, who's Susan Legg, who's an opera singer, who's always very willing to sing on my stuff, thankfully. She's got a most remarkable mezzo voice, so warm and fruity. And now we get this big build into the main theme. We double-tracked the strings for this one, so we had 40 strings in total, and so what you're hearing is 80 strings effectively. Brass is single-track, but we had a very big brass section, 8 horns, etc. To die away to nothing. I don't think we quite got there actually, but and then we have the guitar solo at the end that I was talking about earlier. And she's such a wonderful player, really, really soulful and incredibly talented. And I think this piece for me possibly is my favourite piece in the score. The one I'm possibly most pleased with, I don't know. And it just, for me, it just represents the, the character of Senna and his memory. And like I said, it's something that's kind of unusual in a racing game, really. So Pressure starts with this sort of synthetic piano and arpeggiated sequence, quite dark, and some percussive elements and just sort of little sort of pulsy bass arp on synth. And in a sense, the track is all about pressure. It's all about the different types of pressure and at the end of the piece, as you'll hear, that pressure gets released and transformed into euphoria and, you know, celebration. So it's a kind of track that builds and builds and builds and builds, goes through a range of emotions, and then doesn't necessarily explode, but transforms and becomes something quite different. So we've got obviously piano here, string pads, my wife humming over the top, some really interesting guitar stuff played by my extremely talented friend John Harvey, who's a genius with guitars and drums, and mangling all sorts of stuff. And at the end of the track, you'll hear him in full flight with some incredible wah stuff. So we get the first sort of expansive element now with the orchestra. Which I feel is kind of iron fist in velvet glove, and then it transforms into something much more tense. And you get high strings in this grinding contrapuntal movement. And builds and builds, big riser, boom. And I feel here that the racing driver is saying, I'm gonna do this, I can do this, I can, and you know, the grit and determination. Facing up to the demons in his or her head. And this is where John comes in with the guitars, and we get a change of gear, a change of mood to a more euphoric and trailerized end, I guess. The final piece of music I'm going to play you from the game is called Guts and Glory, and it again is radically different from the others, and it came about after I heard an interview with Stirling Moss on TV. It was about 15 years ago this interview was taken from, and he speaks of bravery and some of the exploits that he and his colleagues got up to in the 1950s and 60s, and stuff that would make your hair stand on end. And I thought I'd try and do justice to that by writing something that's quite epic, but not in the contemporary mould. Again, it's my wife, Susan Legg, singing, and the lyrics are taken from the libretto of Verdi's Il Trovatore, and they roughly translate as "The fire roars, the restless mob runs to the fire with happy faces, shouts of joy echo around." I know that sounds like a kind of tenuous link with motorsport, but in the opera it's the kind of the mob against the protagonist, and it's almost as if the crowd wills the racing driver to push themselves beyond the limits until perhaps disaster happens. And I want to cut right now to the end of the track, which features a reiteration of the opening verse with Susan singing beautifully doleful and moving cello solo by Caroline Dale here, and Ben Collins, the racing driver, talking about what it's actually like racing against people and, in a sense, gambling with your life.
the fear of losing is far greater than the fear of being hurt, and that means that you've very much got to weigh up your opponents to see where they are, and you're wheel to wheel with these guys. If they're in a strong situation, their car is running well, and you're both in a good position, at that point it's like playing high speed poker. All you can do is try and gauge the profile of your opponent right, and hope that you've hope you come out in front of him.
I hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope you've enjoyed the music, and I've very much enjoyed annotating my score to Project Cars 2. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with Stephen Bastead and his original score for Project Cars 2. The original soundtrack for Project Cars 2 was released on September 22, 2017 and is available digitally at Amazon.com, iTunes, and you can stream it on Spotify. You can find out more and hear more music from Stephen Bastead at his official site, StephenBastead.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Twitter.com/StephenBastead. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net, or you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find quality podcasts. Wherever you do listen, please leave us a rating or review, and please share this podcast with those that you think would enjoy it. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator, or on Facebook at The Annotator, or send us your feedback by email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com. Oh,